At this time, our speaker, we love this speaker. He's always with us, and it's like a friend in our church. He's more friend, more than friends. More than friends, I can say, more than friends, because every time we make our schedule for a speaker, don't forget this guy. Don't forget this man. We always have that in our, you know, we elders make this schedules. So, and we're thankful for his time, his willingness to give a message for us. Without further ado, let's welcome to our pulpit our beloved elder, our speaker today, Elder Robert Ortiz.
You see how I corrected him, right? He said, like a friend? No, we are friends. We belong to the same family, right? So we're more than friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We might have different mothers, but we have the same father. Stand corrected, okay? Because we share the same blood as he does, because he shared that blood for you and I, so that way we can be not only a family here on earth, but be forevermore whenever he comes for the second time, so we can spend eternity with him forever. Amen? It's always a privilege to share the word with you, because he always challenges me in my English and putting the sermons together. Sometimes what I do is, some sermons that I have started to put together, I Frankenstein them and take a piece from here, take a piece from here, and I translate it, and then I can make a complete sermon. And I thank God for giving me the privilege to be able to do that in two different languages. So praise be to him. As this year, or before this year, the year ended and the year started, I don't know if you have had the same feeling or in meditation of being more in oneness with God and being able to see the fruits of His Spirit in our lives. And asking that question to myself, I've come to the conclusion that it isn't about what I can do for Christ, it's what I allow Him to do in my life. And that's what this sermon is about today. It's almost like a Bible study. But like Jim says, when I preach, I can't stand still in one spot. So I encourage you guys that the sermon that I'm going to share with you today, take those same verses, take them home, study them, reflect, and allow the Holy Spirit to enrich us the way He's enriching me. Because that's the purpose of the word. Amen? To enrich me, so that way I can be transformed to his likeness, right? And it's not what Robert can do, it's what I allow God to do in me. Amen. And when I allow and I link up and I align that with, then God can do things through me. Amen. And then it comes to a complete circle, and we can see the purpose in which we have been called to. Amen. Amen. So let me pray, so that way we ask the Holy Spirit here to be with us here today. In Jesus' name we ask these things, O Lord. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here once again, Lord, in the Hudson Church. I know that you want to bless each and every member here, Lord, because you have called us not to call us to just be another person to be saved, but also a person to be able to be saved, but share that saving with others, Lord. I ask you, Lord, as we open your word this morning, those of us here and those who are being connected through Zoom, family members, friends, that you also, Lord, minister to them in those places too, Lord. Lord, I have put my mind, my heart, my emotions, and I have surrendered them to you. Take control. So that way, your words speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read a scripture from the writings from E.E. White that is in Acts of the Apostles. And he reads, the promise of the Holy Spirit, it is not limited to any age or to any race. Christ declared that the divine influence of his Spirit has been with his followers unto the end. From the day of Pentecost to the present time, the Comforter has been sent to all who have yielded themselves fully to the Lord and to their service. To all who have accepted Christ as a personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has come as a counselor, sanctifier. How many of us say amen? A guide and a witness. The more closely believers have walked with God, the more clearly and powerfully have they testified of their Redeemer's love and his saving grace. The men and women who throughout the long centuries of persecution and trials enjoy a large measure of the presence of the Spirit in their lives have stood as signs and wonders in the world. Before angels and men, they have revealed the transforming power of the redeeming love. How many of us say amen? And I ask this question. How much does God want you to have the Holy Ghost? Have you ever asked yourself that? How much does God want you to have the Holy Spirit? Why is he so determined in the scriptures for us to be partakers of the Holy Spirit? Today we are going to be unlocking why is Jesus so fixed in us to have the Holy Ghost. We are going to unveil the importance of a declared promise and the fulfillment of that promise. Amen? When Jesus Christ gave his disciples the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was nearing the close of his earthly ministry. He was standing in the shadows of the cross with a full realization of the load of guilt that was to rest upon him as the sin bearer. And I ask today, what did Jesus promise the disciples? Let's open the word. Let's open the word of God. Whether it's in the iPhone, whether it's the iPad, whether it's in the screen. But it's better to leave it off the screen so that way, you know, we can hear, you know. Because I am I am convinced that not only when I hear the word of God, but when I read the word of God, God speaks to us. And if you want a difference and we want a change in our lives, we have to learn to develop to listen to him. Because when we learn to develop to listen to him, he starts connecting the dots. He starts aligning our feet towards heaven. Amen? And all of us want to go to heaven, right? I want to go to heaven. But this body, this mind, in his set, as a carnal self, I'm not going to be able to enter to heaven. But if I have the aid of the Holy Spirit in me and among me, he is going to do the changing in me. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. So let's open the Bibles in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Because we have a question. What did Jesus promise the disciples? Because going back a little bit, we understand that Jesus started his ministry when he was about 30 years old, and he chose 11 disciples. And he spent with them three and a half years with them. So that's the threshold where we're at and we're landing on. But we pick it up here in Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to go back and forth prior to him being crucified and after him being crucified. So that way we understand where we're at, okay? And he says here, this is after he's crucified. He spends 3 days in the tomb. He comes back to life. And he's fulfilling that promise which he had declared. Amen, right? And we are going to understand today that what Jesus says comes true. So if he did it then, he could do it now. Now we have to understand that if he did it then, if he promised it to them and it became true, that means that what he's declaring for us today, it can come true too. But there's only one thing that could break the threshold, and it's for us to believe and to surrender. And how many of us are willing to believe? And how many of us are willing to surrender? Because that's the hardest part of us. Losing control, losing my vision, losing my expectations. See, we are so clouded sometimes that we set these goals, outrageous goals for ourselves. And we battle and we battle and rattle. And we fulfill some of those goals. But a lot of those goals do not align with heaven. And you know what? We think we're fighting. We think that God is fighting for us, but it is that we're fighting for ourselves. Because we hold on to promises, but we hold on to promises the wrong way. Let's go to what I'm saying. Let's go. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So it might have a little bit left different, but if you guys follow me, then you could get the gist, okay? All right. He says here, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what? The gift he had promised. How many of us say amen? As I told you before, John baptized with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with what? Pablo, this blew my mind. That means, brothers and sisters, that we are not only baptized once. we receive a second baptism. And a lot of us have received that first baptism. But we are arguing, we are wrestling to surrender to the Holy Spirit in order to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. He is revealing something so important that now I can understand why when Jesus would say something, the disciples were rattling around themselves because they did not see what the vision or the true vision of Jesus was to be done here on earth while he was here. They thought that they were going to be liberated, freed from the captivity of the Romans, and Jesus came to liberate them from what? Sin. And what's more important? To be liberated from the captive of the people that are being ruled by, or sin? Sin. But they understood, no, our oppression is that the Romans have us oppressed. Man, I'm thinking, it is interesting how our minds and gets conditioned to get comfortable in that oppression. That limits us to get real liberation from the Holy Spirit. And it kind of like, how do you say, it shocks us. I pray, Lord, that you open our minds and let us understand today this point. That we not only to be supposed to be baptized by water, but we are also supposed to be baptized by the Spirit. Because without both of those baptisms, we will not enter into heaven. Let me ask you this. Was there a change in the disciples when they enter into the upper room? Was there a change in them? If we look at them before Jesus died and resurrected, what was the attitude and the characters of all 11 disciples? They were always bickering against themselves. Who was the bigger person? Oh, Jesus picked me first. Oh, so if he picks me first, I'm the one that's being in charge. But in the moment that Jesus resurrected, the Holy Spirit started pouring in them and unveiling their eyes and seeing the true mission of God, of Jesus Christ. Amen? But then, in continuation, then the disciples were in the position to receive the Holy Spirit. So one thing is the baptism of water, and the other thing is baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. When we have it, say amen. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Amen, right? Take note of this, please. Start taking note of this and meditate and go to God so that way he can reveal what we need for us to be ready to go to heaven. But in fact, it is best for you to go away, because if I don't, the advocate would not come, or the comforter. If I do go away, then I will send it to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of what?
Sin.
And of God's what?
Judgment.
And of the coming what?
Judgment.
So what is the job of the Holy Spirit? To convict what? Sin. Sin on who? On us. Amen. And then righteousness. And then judgment. Man. We have to get it through our minds that the job of the Holy Spirit is to deal with our sinful life. Amen? Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, erases sin from us. He gives us the ability to be taken away from the condemnation of sin. In other words, like Romans 6:23 says, that, who can help me? Romans 6:23, really quickly. But do not leave that page that we are in. Romans 6:23. I know it in Spanish like the back of my mind, but in English. What? And the what? So we are understanding what Jesus' role was to what? To take away the condemnation or the wages of sin. Amen. Now, though, we are going to start understanding why the Holy Spirit was promised and Jesus declared the Holy Spirit, amen, as a promise to us. Now, John 14. Mm-hmm. 16 and 17, verses 16 and 17. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. We have it? Amen? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or counselor who will never leave you. How many of us say amen? He will never leave me. He is always present. It is interesting because I want to make a parenthesis here that when that preposition in him, I need three volunteers. I don't know if I've done this here. I need three volunteers. That's voluntary, so they have to come up. Because the awesome thing about the Holy Spirit is that some of us learn by what we hear. Some of us learn by what we see, right? And some of us here learn how what we feel, right? So come up front. I need three volunteers up here. I'm not going to ask you to recite the whole Bible. I'm not going to ask you what verse. Nothing. Just as an example. Just that's right here, okay? It's all good. It's all good. All right? For us to understand the preposition of the word in Christ, when you look at it in the original text in Greek, it refers to beside.
Like I'm standing beside you.
Mm-hmm. Beside. Among you. Among. Right? Among, right? Among. Or in you. Mm. Let that sink in. You guys can sit down. So the Spirit, because Jesus declared it, right? He declared the Holy Spirit to be what? A wrong or by Robert. But the finished work of the Holy Spirit is to be what? Within me. But for him to be within me, I have to surrender. The same thing I surrendered to Jesus, accepting him as my Savior, so that way he could blot away the sinful life on me. The same way, for me to be maintained cleanliness and in sanctification of life, I have to accept the Holy Spirit. So that way he can correct me. He can guide me. He can instruct me. Mercy. Are we getting the concept right? That how many of us want the Holy Spirit by me? How many want it among us? But how many of us want it within me? Can the church say amen? Confirmation of what God is saying. Don't look at me. I'm a sinner. I'm the worst of them. Let's continue. It is in the Holy Spirit who leads us to what? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Who leads us into all truth. Amen. So he aligns not only what the word said, He aligns us with heaven. He aligns us with the declaration. He aligns us with the fulfillment. I don't see nothing there that says what I have to do. Or salvation is something that comes from me. It's not what I do. Get that through our heads. It's not me coming to church every single Saturday that is going to save me. It isn't. It isn't. It's developing a relationship with the promise that Jesus declared and asked his father so that way you and I will not be orphans. Mm-mm. And the reason why I preach it with so much passion is, brothers, because I've been starting to be liberated, because that was what my mindset was since I've been an Adventist. Do this. Do that. You can't do this. Oh, you got to do this. No. No. It's not what I do. It's what I surrender. It's what I'm willing to surrender, let go of, die to. Jesus has never asked us to do something unless he has his, I can't even say the words. He has not done or fulfilled himself first. I'm going to say that again. Jesus has not asked us to do something he has not done or fulfilled himself first. In other words, we have a great example, because we can see when Jesus was born, he was human. Amen to that. Even though he was God, he was human. And he understood that he could not use his divinity because you and I were in play. And if he would have used his own will to help him or to strengthen him, he would have lost you and me. So that's how come we can see the connection that he develops with his father, and then we see the strength he received from his father. Because remember, when Jesus took on the role to be a man, he had to give up something. Man. He gave up his position. He gave up his divinity. He put himself in harm's way to be separated from God for eternity. Now we understand when the devil takes him up to the mount and starts to tempt him. The baptism of water washes my sins. Amen? My sins. My sins are washed away when I accept Jesus and I get baptized in the waters. But when he washes them away, he prepares the way for the Holy Spirit to enter into a life and start renewing a life form. From a carnal state to a spiritual state. But that, brothers and sisters, it is the only job, or one of the jobs that we already described, that the Holy Spirit has. Let's go to Acts chapter 3:19. Mm-hmm. Acts 3:19. What does the word say?
Repent.
He says, repent. But I'm hearing a couple of still. Okay. When we all there, say amen. All right. They said, now repent of your sins and turn to God. So that way your sins may be what? Blotted out. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, 38. Right here, we're experiencing a different Peter. A Peter filled with the Spirit. Understanding Scripture. Understanding the messages that Jesus shared with him. Why he was able to touch while he was 3.5 years with him. What his eyes saw. What his heart felt. How his words touched people and even touched him. That took him to the point that all he had to do was surrender. And now Peter is preaching those same words. And he says here, he understanding now in chapter 2, verse 38. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn what? To God. And what does he say? And be baptized in what? In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And what does he add now? Who can help me? Hello? And he shall what? He shall receive what? The gift of what? Are we understanding that we need a dual baptism? One of the water. Let me go to scripture. Let's look in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11. Chapter 3. Verse 11. Who can help me and stand up and read it? So that way it's not Robert speaking, but it's the word.
Mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Pablo, hold on to your seat right now, because hold on. Now, man, make a note of that one and make a reference, because that's what John the Baptist said, right? But there's something amazing. And that's how come I say when God declares something, there's a fulfillment. Amen? Amen? And we understand what happened there, right? But look what John, the Apostle John, says in reference to that verse. Let's look at John 1, verse 32 and 33. Oof. That is a powerful verse. Oh, my. When we have it, say amen. Do we have it? All right. Who can help me? Who can help me read? Who can help me read? Okay, Dave. Go ahead. It's verse 32, right? And verse 33 also. Are we seeing the reference between what Matthew saw versus what John experienced? In other words, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, but they never spent any time together. So that way nobody's, oh, they grew up together and they got together and they fixed the prophecy. But John knew, the Baptist, he knew because he was the one to prepare the way of the coming Messiah. So the Spirit was among him already. Mercy. Oh my goodness. And the Holy Spirit being upon him, when he sees that Jesus, what does he call him? This is the Lamb of God. Amen, right? So here we are understanding that the divine nature of the Holy Spirit is pressing upon John the Baptist that he is the coming Messiah. And he said, whoever, when you see the dove or the Holy Spirit descending, that's the one that's going to be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Remember I mentioned something about that I said that Jesus doesn't do anything unless he does it first? Did he get baptized? Yeah. Did he receive the Holy Spirit? Right? But let me ask you this. If he was God, why did he submerge himself in the water? Set up an example. What else? What else? Who can help me? Why did he submerge himself in the water? So prophecy could be fulfilled. Because that's what we're reading right here, right now. If he would not have done it, you remember Matthew 3? He says that, oh no, that John, when he sees him, he's like, no, you baptize me. And what did Jesus say? No. Do it so what? So that way prophecy can be fulfilled. Amen? So that way, Jesus doing that example of being baptized and the reception of the Holy Spirit, when I get baptized and I accept God as my Savior, I get my sins what? Washed away. But the other part is that I need to receive and be baptized by the Holy Ghost. How many of us say amen? Amen. So here, we don't only see a declaration of a promise, we see a fulfillment of that promise. Amen? Amen to that, right? So, Luke 11:13 says, and Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be open. And we know the rest of it, right? Can you imagine? Can we imagine if Hudson's Church starts declaring that promise and asking for the promise of the Holy Spirit to descend on us? Am I empty here? Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Getting us ready to enter into heaven. Getting us ready to receive the double portion of the Holy Spirit. Because here we're only talking about Pentecost. Mercy. So we have to ask. And keep asking. We have to pray that God grants us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you know what, Jackie? We're so accustomed to ask for forgiveness of our sins that we are compliant. We're comfortable with just being forgiven of our sins, but not acknowledge the sinful life that is within me that drives me to do the wrong thing, to think the wrong thing. And, oh, Jesus, I accept you. Please forgive me. But here the word says that in Christ and the promise of the Holy Spirit, I can be free completely. Am I preaching for someone here today that not only wants to be free from sin or the condemnation of sin, but wants to get rid of sin? Amen? Oh, my goodness. Am I speaking to someone today? In other words, that's how come I said that declaration. It's not what I do. What I allow the Spirit to do in me. Let's continue with Jackie. Let's continue with the word. Let's look in Ephesians 3:20. This is the fulfillment of that of Jesus being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, him dying, resurrecting, talking with the disciples, going into the upper room and said, prepare yourself and do not go anywhere until you receive the promise of the Father. Because if they did not receive the power, the promise of the Holy Spirit, they were not going to be able to fulfill what God called them to do. Same thing today. If we don't put ourselves in alignment with the Holy Spirit and ask for him and plead him and ask us to transform us, our emotions, our mental state, how can we be ready when Sunday law comes into effect? We are going to do the same thing that the disciples did. Scars. And that's what the enemy wants to keep the church sleeping, being comfortable. Lord, please forgive me. But God not only called to forgive of our sins, but also liberate us from that condition, that nature. Paul said, miserable of me, who can give me liberty? Because what I want to do, I cannot do. But what I don't want to do, that's what I do. And chapter 8 says, can somebody help me? Because I know it in Spanish. Romans 8:1. Mercy, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Word of God. Now, Lord Robert's saying, do we want to live a different life? Are we want to keep being comfort with just praying to God and asking for forgiveness? Or are we going to start asking for the Holy Spirit? Lord, guide me. Lord, help me break this stronghold in my mind, in my emotional, in my mind state. Help me to be an instrument that glorifies you. It is interesting because in Romans 8:26, read what it says. And remember I mentioned ask, right? And look what it says. And this blew my mind, brothers and sisters. Because we do not know what to ask for. Oh, mercy. Pablo, why do you think the Holy Spirit intercedes for us so much? Because he understands that we ask for forgiveness, but we have not come to our senses that we need to have be liberation from the sinful state. Amen? Ephesians 3:20. Let's go there. This is what happened when we start being baptized by the Holy Ghost. This is what happens. Ephesians 3:20. We have it? Amen? Now all glory to God who is able. Through his mighty power at work. With that, what did it say? Within what? Within us. To accomplish infirmities more than we might ask and think. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. is that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross? Is that referring to Jesus' cross? Or is that also intertwining what the Spirit wants to do? Can you repeat that again?
Mm-hmm.
Let us sink in. Brother Rule, is it saying that I have to perform? No. It's asking me what? To yield, so that way the Spirit has the ability to do the work that he began when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So you know, he don't only want to say, like I'm going to repeat it again. He does not only want to liberate us from the blood of sin, but he wants to liberate us from the enslavement of sin. My, oh my. Philippians 2:13. I told you, Pedro. I told you, Pablo. Ooh, my goodness. Do you see what revolutionary thing God, my God, is doing to my brain? That is not about performing. It's not about preaching. It's not about the abilities and the talent that God gives me. I don't need using those methods to win God's favor. I'm already in his favor. Because he created us. And because the situation that our parents did, he says, I'm going to take their place. Mercy. This is bigger than you and me. This is bigger than what I can do or think that I can do for God. This is accepting truth. And the truth is that if I want to go to heaven, I don't only need to ask for forgiveness. I have to allow the Spirit to transform my character. Amen? Those tendencies are weaved within me that hold me in a stronghold. Today, you could be free. Because the word of God says it. He declared it. For God is working. Look at that. Oh, mercy. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see why I continue to say it's not what I do, but why I allow him to do in me? And why I'm allowed to, what I have to allow him to do is to work within me, to blot out the roots of the evil that is within my heart and my mind. Do we agree? Mercy. Last verse. Hold on to your seats. 2 Peter chapter 1. When we have it, say amen. You have it, Jackie? Amen. This is powerful. Verse 3 and 4. When we have it, say amen. I want to hear the church say amen. Because we're studying God's word, right? And though God's word is truth, right? And it says that the truth shall set you free. And that's what we're declaring today. Freedom. Freedom of having the bloodness of sin, but not only the bloodness of sin, but the roots that are within my heart, that are settled in there, we can be free too. Amen? Look what he says here. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Hello? God has given everything, Jackie, for you and me to be able to live a godly life. Do we understand why we continuously fumble the football? And we attempt to modify our characters and look good in front of you, but in front of God's eyes, we are nothing. Because we understand that we need forgiveness of our sin, but I want you guys to be clear that that's not only that we need, we also need liberation of our sinful state. That only comes about through the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have received all of his by coming to know him. The one who calls us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, catch this, guys, he has given us a great and a precious promise. Amen? These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape of the world's corruptions caused by the human desires. Word of God. Let me read it in a different version. Or can somebody read it in a different version? The same verse. Yeah, verse 3 and 4. Yeah, that's fine. Amen. Amen. So that way we stand corrected. It's not only what Jesus did. It's not only what he said. It's not only what he fulfilled. It's the mere action that he's the only one that can erase sin. Bro, but through his declaration and the Holy Spirit coming in tune with you and I, we can be free and liberated. And I ask today, who wants to be free? Are we understanding the importance of this message? That is not what I do. I can have many talents. You know, Pablo, that I was meditating on this. And I'm starting to understand why Saul of Tarsus, Saul, he knew the word back and forth. He was with the Sanhedrin. But in the moment that he came in contact with his Savior. Huh? What happened? He was what? Blinded for several days, right? For him to what? Start, wait a minute. What does this word mean? What in the world? What? That's not what it means to do. That Savior? No. I'm persecuting who's following me. What? So then when God comes and says, hey, what are you doing? And what does he say? I'm here, Lord. Huh? That wasn't Paul's schooling or Saul's schooling. It wasn't his position in the church that brought him that revelation. It was the beginning of an encounter of he who he was pursuing. And in the moment that he did that, he did not only receive the baptism of water, but he also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because he was blinded temporarily. But when those, how do you say, those scales came out of his eyes, he saw God, he saw the plan in a different way. I asked tonight, have you ever received a special gift from someone? Makes you feel good, right? Warm and fuzzy. What do you think God wants to give you today?
Freedom.
Freedom from what? And what? From sin and what? Amen. Are we willing to ask him today for that promise of the Holy Ghost? For us to be baptized in it? I could see a different church in Hudson. Because we have read the effects of what the Holy Spirit can do in someone. Amen? And this is not even to think about what the second part of the second Pentecost is going to happen. So God is looking for people that want to be ready. And I ask today, who wants to be partakers? Stand up where you are. This commitment that we're doing here today is does not only imply forgiveness of our sins, but also the way to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that way he can have full control of me. And I ask today, who wants to take that step today and say, Lord, I want to be free. And I want to ask you to come forward because I want to pray for you today. I think the message was clear that we don't only need forgiveness of our sins, but we need remission. We need transformation of our mindset, of our character, of our intentions. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to make a difference in you. So that way, by your example, you could teach others what God is able and willing to do in someone that's been broken. Someone that has a whole bunch of problems and situations. Someone that has addictions. For God, there's nothing impossible, Lauren. Nothing is impossible for God. There's no limit to his power. The only one, I have understood that the only one that limits the power is me, my mindset. My mindset is the only one. And we are so focused on what can do inside of a box that we limit what he can do in and outside the box. Are we ready? Are we ready to receive? I'm going to give a couple of seconds for you guys to ask for the reception of the Holy Spirit. Not only to forgive us for our sins, but to allow us for him to continue the work that he has begun in us. Because how we read, he's the one that starts it. And if we allow him, he's going to finish it. Because His job, his work to do is until end of times before Jesus comes. And he wants us to all go to heaven.
Yes.
He wants us to go all to go to heaven, Pablo.
I want to go.
But he wants people that yield to him and allow him to do the work of transformation. Amen. Is there anybody else that would like to come up? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the declarations of your word and your promises. Thank you for your fulfillment of those promises. I thank you for beginning that work within me. Please, Lord, allow me to continue to acknowledge my deficiencies in my character and yield to you on a daily basis. So that way I can learn not to depend on my power or my knowledge, but to depend on you. That when those victories are ready for us to take hold of, I can acknowledge and understand that it was not something that I did, but what your will to be done. Help us, Lord. Help us break these strongholds in our minds, our condition, our culture. We are so set in our ways. Lord, please, not only forgive us, but free us so that way we can glorify and exalt your precious name and we can begin to live a new life in Christ. Those who are listening to the web, I know that your message has reached them too. Please touch them, heal them, transform their lives, allow them to see what true liberation is. And true liberation to living free in your spirit. I ask, not by my merits, not by my wants, but what Jesus accomplished on the cross, what he said, what he declared, and what he has fulfilled. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we allow him to come in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.